Well, a couple of Sundays ago, we had Captain Perch and a few familiar faces doing a song and teaching wonderful truths as we thought about Jesus being the light of the world. And over the last few weeks, we've been encouraging the children to have various activities going on during the sermon. And so we've got a few photographs of recent things. Here's one that got missed off the pumpkin trail. Look at that fantastic face. Faces, lots of faces. There we go. That was one of the lighthouses we asked for about Jesus being the light of the world. That is good. That is brilliant. And this one is, I don't know how much adult involvement was that helping there with the red and white stripes, but that is an impressive, impressive lighthouse. Fantastic. Do keep all those things coming. It's lovely to see, as we can't be together in that way, to sharing what we are doing in our homes. And today, as we know, it's remembrance. And so we've got a little video to help us to remember with our children a brilliant truth. Some of you might have seen it, but if not, it's always worth remembering anyway.
Generally speaking, when you go to school, you'll probably forget things, but I'm imagining you will never forget your hand as you go to school. And hopefully on one of your hands, you've got five fingers. So you can remember this Bible verse, which is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5. And it's got five words in it that we want to remember. I will be with you. Okay? Joshua 1, verse 5. I will be with you. Who is speaking? God is speaking. God is the promise-making, promise-keeping God. And he makes this promise to us. I will be with you. And who is he talking to? He's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's promising us that we are safe in his hand, safe in his care. We can trust him. The all-powerful God has us in his hand. That is his rock-solid promise to you and me.
Brilliant. I'm sure we can all remember that. Fantastic way of memorizing a little memory verse. I will be with you. Look, even I can remember it. And parents at home, if you're looking for perhaps a song to sing and things to do a little bit later on today, Colin Buchanan's Remember the Lord is a brilliant, fun video. Lots of fun and wonderful truths in there as well. Colin Buchanan and Remember the Lord. Well, we're going to turn to our Bible reading for today now. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. So do look that up if you can, if you've got a Bible there. If not, the words will be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 12. It says this: Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As we look at these words, let's pray. Father, thank you for truths you have to share with us about what we once were without Christ and what we can be now with him and in him. And so we pray now you'd help us to remember those truths and teach us well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a Remembrance Sunday, but I'm sure many of us, if not most of us and all of us, would rather be forgetting 2020. It has been, excuse me, a turbulent, blustery year, hasn't it? It started pretty much with Brexit. Remember that? And of course, everything that has happened subsequently. But of course, remembering bad things for good reasons is important. And so Winston Churchill famously said of the Battle of Britain in 1940, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." It's good. There are sometimes bad things, but it's good to remember. And even when we can't remember together formally and fittingly as we'd like to do, It's right that we do remember the few whose service and sacrifice brought so many of us deliverance and freedom and peace. And yet, don't we all know that we are feeling rattled at the moment with lockdown living? Freedom feels restricted. Peace, well, lots struggling with anxiety and worry. This wretched virus, it's taking its toll day to day, and also tragically, it has it captured and killed those we know and love. And yet our reading urges us to remember Christ and all that his cross means, to do that all the time, in all circumstances. It was written from a church in Ephesus, to a church in Ephesus in Turkey, from the Apostle Paul. And he was writing to remind those Christians to remember not the death of a few, but the death of one. To remember their past before Christ and rejoice in their presence in the present because of Christ. So look how he starts, verse 12. Remember at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. He's saying, remember the position you once were in, separate from God and his promises, outsiders, not insiders, without hope, believe it or not, because you were without God. It was the worst form of social distancing, if you like, miles from their maker. They might well have been living in blissful ignorance. But Paul was clear that life without Christ is ultimately hopeless because it is cut off from our maker. It's like, if you will, a goldfish who's broke for freedom out of the bowl and is gasping for air as it flaps around the tabletop. And because it's got a 3-second memory, it sort of forgets where it was and thinks, oh, this is okay, I could get used to this. But of course, it's actually gasping for air and needs to be back where it belongs, in the water. Paul says, remember where you once were without Christ, so that we can rejoice in the now. Verse 13, but now, huge change in Christ Jesus. You who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, the wonderful truths are that he's saying Jesus, he saw how far humanity was from God and then willingly left the glories of heaven to enter the war zone of our world. A world, of course, full of all sorts of good things by God's grace. But we have to admit, full also of struggle and sin and separation from each other and from God. And Paul says all those far away can be brought near by the blood of Jesus. Now, when Paul wrote, he was reconciling some divisions between Jews and Gentiles, the non-Jews. The Jews felt they were naturally near to God by birthright, their religious rule-keeping. The Gentiles, they were far away and far from caring, and they both had no time for each other at all. So why Paul says in verse 14, he says it's like a dividing wall of hostility. It separated them from each other, and it separated them from God. It was this wall, a barrier. Reminds me, lots of us will remember that day in 1989 when the Great Wall, the barrier between East and West Germany came down. If you can't remember it, you can find it on YouTube and look up the footage. But Paul says Christ's cross, well, it was what it took to tear down the wall of our hostility in our hearts. Didn't need a pickaxe. Didn't need the TNT that a wall might take. It was the cross. And look what it achieved, verse 15. He reconciled both of them to God through the cross. See, Christ's cross alone tears this wall down, reconciles us, unites us, brings us together to each other, yes. But because it brings us to God, it brings sinners into what it is to be saved. It's Christ alone who died, and he died the death our sins alone deserve. See, Churchill was right as he reflected on that Battle of Britain about the many owing the few. But when it comes to our sin and saving, well, the many owe not the few, but the one. So Paul says, remember life without Christ then. Rejoice in the cross of Christ now. And so finally, he says, so remember its consequences. Look at verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. It's an extraordinary consequence that the cross achieved, isn't it? It's an extraordinary transfer from miles away outside to ridiculously close on the inside. This is sort of being promoted from the Vauxhall Conference, as that still exists, to the top of the Champions League without any of the years of slog in between. Wonderfully, the picture here, this is separated strangers made family, brought home with each other, and again, and most importantly, with God. This, if you like, is the goldfish being picked up from flapping around on the table and being put back in the water. This is the fish back where it belongs. Now, of course, this sense of unity and familial care, if you like, we've seen snippets of this sort of unity, haven't we, recently? Seems a long time ago now, but as a nation, and I think around the world, people gathering, particularly in this country, to give thanks for our healthcare system. In communities, WhatsApp groups have sprung up amongst residents and residents' associations to identify and reach out to the most vulnerable in our neighbourhoods. All very good things, snippets and signs of community we're designed for. But let's face it, all of that has also been tarred as recent protests have reminded us all of the racial injustice that still divides us in our nations. Snippets of unity, snippets of community, and also snippets and reminders of sin. It's like the video asked us at the start in Glenn's poem, what stops this sort of war and hostility? And perhaps this morning you're someone asking, is there anything that could change this? Humanity seems to keep on being very good at repeating itself ourselves. Is there someone, or is there anyone, or indeed a worldview that can fix this and fix us once and for all? And these verses shout, yes, there is. Jesus, we're told, breaks down the wall of hostility. He's saying the problem is a heart problem, a wall of our hearts, and his cross can deal with your heart problem and mine. Because he deals with the underlying problem of our hearts, the sin that lurks there. And so maybe this morning you're someone who sees that you are far away, who in your quieter moments will admit there is a wall of hostility, a barrier of resentment. It's a barrier that keeps you from other people, it keeps you from God. And no matter what you try, you can't take it down. Maybe this morning you can see you need Jesus to take it down for you, to bring you near to others, but most importantly and above all, to God, the one who is able to blot out our transgressions and chooses through the cross to remember our sins no more. If that's you this morning seeing those things, please do get in touch. We at Christchurch would long to give you a nudge along the way, a helping hand. Some assistance in seeing how life is so different with the wall removed. Others of us this morning, well, maybe we just need to take Paul's advice and remember the then and rejoice in the now. Maybe we're someone who spends our days scribbling things down on to-do lists, or do we still tie knots in our school ties, maybe, to remember things that we mustn't forget. Well, let's remember this. Our minds will be full of concerns and uncertainty, worries and a sense of everything being out of control in some way. And it's good for us to, okay, remember the cross then. Remember all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we were and what we have now. See, Christ alone brings us hope, because it's clear that Christ alone brings us home. You see, friends, on a Remembrance Sunday, it's right we just pause in all that we'd be doing to gather together in an act of remembrance and give thanks. It's right that we would remember those whose wartime service and sacrifice brought deliverance, freedom, and peace for many. But that means how much more must we remember and thank Jesus, whose service and sacrifice brings an eternal deliverance, an eternal freedom, and eternal peace for so many more. I'm going to pray. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank and praise you for all that the blood of his cross achieves. We thank and praise you for him willingly being the sacrifice to break down the barrier and the dividing wall of our hostility. A barrier that separates us from each other because our sin separates us from you. We thank you that there is freedom and forgiveness. There is hope and peace where there was once war and slavery. We thank you for all that Christ's cross achieves for us. And we pray and ask that you'd help us to remember. Help us to remember the old, that we'd rejoice in the new. Help us to go out into our Monday morning with minds full, perhaps, of the uncertainties and all the unsettling season we're in. And we ask that you would help us to remember. We pray that in remembering Christ, that would change our day, change our worldview. Help us to speak of others, speak to others of him, that they'd remember him too. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.